Welcome to Slaughterhouse Stories. I hope you enjoy the stories I have for you tonight. Hello to all you things that go bump in the night. Hello to all you humans as well. Welcome to the show that brings you creepypastas, short scary stories, and dark horror-themed poetry from all across the world. This is the Slaughterhouse Stories Podcast, Episode 9, Clown in the Window. I'm your host and narrator, Ghost Train, telling you to lock your doors, get under your blankets, and keep the lights on. Now, let's get spooky. Tonight's opening tale isn't just spooky, it also highlights the true horror many women experience, the expectations of men. Author Gray Owl tells us what one poor woman goes through when she shed the mask she's expected to wear, and what happens to the man who sees her as she truly is. Let me take you on this journey about horrific beauty standards. Please enjoy Aesthetically Pleasing. I'm not a fan of altering my appearance, but it's what I have to do to blend in with society. Most males claim they dislike the charade most women allude to. They claim they want a natural beauty, but drool over the overprocessed and overdone celebrities that aren't any different from the girls walking around within their own town. Because of this standard, because we are told we must resemble the unrealistic beauty of the women of Hollywood, girls lather on the makeup, blurring out their imperfections daily with various makeup brushes. I'm no different than those girls. I love makeup, I really do, but it's a hassle. My boyfriend has to wait in the living room for hours as I get ready for a simple movie date, attempting to perfect some imaginary caliber of aesthetic. Like many women, I refuse to leave the bathroom until I'm fully made up, smiling cheerfully within the mirror's false reflection of myself. Unbeknownst to my boyfriend and the male population in general, natural is no longer in. Anyone within my community that is without the props and the gimmicks are no longer sought after, regardless of the beauty they may display. If you do not display the sultry eyes, the plump red lips, the radiant skin, or the long, luscious hair, you are a nobody to the world. You are but a monster. Even though us women have come to this shallow conclusion, we are often pressured by our mates to appreciate our raw beauty, though we, including myself, have undergone severe torment countless times in the past by boyfriends who have witnessed our natural selves. I want to be able to love my appearance. I want to be self-confident and shout to the world that I am beautiful. But reality will not allow such blasphemous speech. Regardless of my fear, regardless of the unknown reaction my mate would have of me, I broke down enough to allow my boyfriend to stay the night. How silly of me. As I showered, I heard the bathroom door crack open. To anyone else, that was an invite to more adventurous routes of intimacy. But to me, it was fear-inducing. Just as I expected, the familiar sound of shock filled the air.
What the fuck?
He said shakily. I turned the water off, slowly pulling the shower curtain open with hesitant hands. Once exposed, my boyfriend's gaze met mine, and though his eyes traveled up and down my nude body, the one he was so in love with previously, the look he displayed when he met my face was heartbreaking.
Can we talk about this?
I questioned as he began backing away, his eyes wild with horror. He shook his head, trembling as he stumbled over his own shoes.
Where the fuck is your nose? What the fuck are you?
He questioned hysterically. I let out a deep sigh, extending my arms out towards him. Please, don't do this, I said, pleading with him. He continued backing away, turning his head swiftly towards the door, calculating how far a run it would be to make it out.
"You can't leave,"
I said, shaking my head as tears fell down my cheeks. Because of my sudden, deepened voice, his attention turned back to me, his expression even more horrified with the swift change of tone, as they all have in the past. He sprinted towards the door, hectically rotating the knob, forgetting to unlock the countless locks bolted on the frame. I watched on for a while, observing his horror, shock, and obvious repulsion of me. The anger began to swell as it had for years. The disappointment I felt as I witnessed him try to abandon me, forgetting the amount of courage it took me to reveal myself without the added hair, the fake tan, the prosthetic nose and ears, the hazel contact lenses, and the collagen-filled lips. He didn't appreciate my efforts to please him. He thought I was hideous, just as his predecessors had. So, he struggled with the last lock, screaming for help. I walked over, helping him unlock the door. Once outside, he began running down the hall, unaware of the growing population of women in the halls. Once he ran up to one of the women, pointing at the monster he pegged me as. The woman reassured him, lowering him to the ground as various others gathered around him. Slowly, realization sunk in of his dire situation. The women all removed their masks, the ones my fellow sisters were confined in, and began ripping him apart. I hope you all feel you can shed your own masks and be free. And if you're not a mask wearer, love and embrace the truth, or be torn apart by it. Speaking of things hiding in plain sight, let's move to the second story of the night, about young and beautiful Raquel, the tease of El Paso. She was such a sight to behold on the dance floor. Unfortunately for her, she caught the attention of the wrong thing. Put on your dancing shoes, move with the music, and come dance with the devil. Raquel was simply stunning, easily the most beautiful girl in the blossoming town of El Paso. All the men tripped over their own feet, attempting to win her heart. She was, however, a notorious flirt and tease, and a phenomenal dancer. Her only requirement for her prospective suitors was that they be able to keep up with her on the dance floor. One particular evening, in late October, Raquel was having an exceptionally wonderful night. Her feet hardly seemed to touch the floor as she whirled gracefully from partner to partner, shaming the men courageous enough to try to keep pace with her wild yet graceful movements. She laughed as she danced, red skirts flying, delighting in the frustration she caused each of them, and consequently, their female counterparts. After hours of merciless teasing and cuckolding, Raquel excused herself for a brief respite from the dance floor. This was, of course, met with wistful sighs from the men and jealous sniffs from the other women. While reposing near the small raised dais where the mariachi band was playing, Raquel happened to spy a strikingly handsome young man in an extravagant black suit. It was not uncommon for youthful tycoons who struck it rich to pass through El Paso, but this man was truly exceptional. He was tall, with deep-set eyes that gleamed with a mischievous sparkle. His face was elegantly formed, strong, clean-shaven, jaw jutting beneath wide-set cheekbones. Upon spotting her, he smoothly doffed his cap and gave the beautiful temptress an elaborate bow. He smiled as he strode confidently over to Raquel, revealing rows of perfect gleaming white teeth. And as he neared her, she felt her heart race and her breath catch in her throat. In a low baritone rumble, he simply asked, "Care to dance?" Astonished, partly by the fact that he was so stunning, and partly by the fact that she was so flustered by him, Raquel could only nod and take the hand that he proffered as he led her to the center of the room. The band fell silent, and the crowd parted for the couple, clearing a large space for them to perform what would invariably be a dance to remember for years to come. The mysterious gentleman bowed deeply, and Raquel curtsied in turn, as the band began to play a lively, up-tempo tune. And then, they began to dance. They stepped simply at first, each becoming familiar with the other's movements. As some onlookers later claimed, the two moved as halves of a whole, each fluid step moving seamlessly into the other, both dancers flowing in perfect unison and perfect time with the music. Quickly, the two began to perform more and more complex movements, gracefully twirling across the floor as though on a cushion of air. What happened next is a point of some contention. Some say that the band began to pick up the tempo to test the limits of the dancers, it was supposed. Others argued that the couple simply began to move faster, and the music changed to keep pace with them. However, all agree that the duo began to step faster, their whirling dance becoming a blur of dips, spins, and leaps. As the band reached a climactic crescendo in the music, the gentleman took Raquel in his arms, and they began to spin. Slowly at first, then faster, and faster, and faster. Their feet flew across the floorboards as the music rose to a near hysterical pace. And as they rotated, Raquel began to realize that this was no ordinary dance and no ordinary stranger. She locked eyes with her partner and noticed for the first time their unusual hue, a deep, unsettling crimson. He began to laugh, a low, bellowing rumble that sent chills down her spine. Their whirling began to make her feel faint. She couldn't let go of the enigmatic stranger. Her hands clasped his in a white-knuckled death grip as they circled around and around. Soon, all that the astonished onlookers could see was a black and red blur. And most agree that the pair was no longer dancing on the floor. They had risen several inches into the air, circling around faster than any eye could see. The band members frantically beat out the tempo, terrified and exhausted, but unable to cease their rhythmic tune. Sweat beaded on their foreheads as muscles strained to their breaking point to keep pace with the otherworldly beat. Suddenly, Raquel let out an ear-piercing shriek and fell to the ground. As suddenly as he had appeared, the gentleman in the black suit was gone. In his wake, he left only a faint scent of sulfur and Raquel. Concerned, the other dancers crowded around to see what had become of their most beautiful flower and were shocked and dismayed by the sight that confronted them. Raquel lay, limbs contorted at grotesque angles, her face frozen in a mask of fear. All color had been leached from her once supple brown skin, and her voluptuous body had become a shriveled husk of papery skin and bone. The only indication that this lifeless corpse was in fact her was the bright red skirt she'd been wearing, now hanging limply at her withered waist. To this day, women in bars and clubs quietly gossip with each other about dancing with a mysterious red-eyed young man who dances as though possessed. Beautiful Raquel, the red-eyed stranger, came calling that night, and now she's just a cautionary tale of what could be out there waiting for you. Would you like to dance? Let's leave the dance floor behind, rest for a moment, and enjoy some poetry as we go to open mic night at the Hazel Pub. Welcome, fiends, to open mic night at the Hazel Pub, where we invite you to sit right here and go into the more poetic side of fear. Poems of murder, creatures, and ghosts. All the things that scare you the most. Tonight, writer Clark of Madness leads us off with his poem about people becoming violent, psychotic versions of themselves, all because of a poison in the water. Maybe change out your water filter before we go on. And afterwards, Autumnal Anthem brings us a poem about a man meeting a maid, one he hates immediately. No matter how much this maiden wants him, close your eyes, get lost in the verses, and enjoy In the Water and I Met a Maid. There's something in the water. There's something in the water, they say. Something put in there to make people act this way. People are dying. People are crying. Left and right, the bodies go. dropping dead where they stand. I'm alone and in my house, with many water jugs of full stock. I'll never feel the ill effects of which I hear them talk. People loot and plunder, a crazy sort of force. This poison population seems no blunder. The town's well is the source. I write this now in anticipation of the crazy new poison nation. The populace poisoned. These psycho people, their morals asunder. This poison's clearly now no blunder. There's something in the water. There's something in the water, they say. I am the one who put it in there to make them act this way. I met a maid. Her eyes were tender. Her hair was finely curved, and nothing could her feelings hinder. She wanted me. I hated her. The day was gloomy. Rain poured down. The house was dark and cold. The church reminded the whole town about a tale gone old. How many men did she deceive? I've heard many rumors. Took everything she could retrieve, yet all the bodies burned. She has a yard of empty flesh, a vault of hearts and souls. Yet she wants more. She needs them fresh to fill her empty holes. She was of Herculean strength. Her nails were stained with blood. Her clothes were 2 meters in length to show her maidenhood. She gave her serfs a long embrace and drove their lives away. They soon forgot it in a haze, and to her sides they swayed. Oh, maiden, why are you so sharp? Why did you pierce my soul? It hurts incredibly. My heart will nevermore be whole. A cursed device. I was not born to end my life in you. My organs were all pinned and torn, and flies around them flew. I had been tortured past my sense, all for the mighty Lord. The maiden was my grave, so dense was her embrace, so hoard. I met a maid. Her eyes were tender. Her hair was finely carved, and no one could hear their judgment hinder. I have been shamed and starved. The Iron Maiden killed me off, a spirit left behind, without a body and a soul, is to this world confined. Let that be a lesson to you. The Maiden always gets what she wants, and once she has you, you'll never escape her embrace. Now, let's leave the pub and get back to your safe space. When you do, maybe cover the windows for this next story. But before we get to tonight's main feature, I want to ask you a favor. If you're enjoying the show, please head over and leave a review, maybe one with 5 stars, on iTunes, or whatever app you use that lets you review, and help spread the word to your friends, family, that person you're stalking on Facebook, whomever. Tell them, be a listener, not a victim. Now, if your windows are covered and you're feeling safe,
you're not.
It's time once again for our monthly trip to the carnival and into that spot known as the Funhouse. This month's Funhouse feature is brought to us by Curly Brace XD. They spin the story of Alex Pierce and the terrifying night he endured with his little brother. A terrifying night made even worse when they tell their mother about what's happening. Prepare yourself to laugh or shriek while you listen to Clown in the Window. My name is Alex Pierce. This story occurred in 1992, when I was about 11 years old. We lived on 18970 Beckard Place in Cerritos, California, in a two-story split-level home where my brother, Dylan, and I slept in neighboring rooms upstairs. My brother was known for his wild imagination and would constantly make up stories, but he was actually asleep when this particular incident occurred. Before I go into full detail explaining what happened that night, I would tell you that my brother actually claimed he had a clownish, imaginary friend and constantly referred to him as if he were an actual human, even offering him food at the dinner table. I usually thought it was a mere childish gesture, and my mother and I would watch him and contently play along. On February 7th, a Friday, my brother woke me in the middle of the night, claiming that a clown was playing peekaboo with him from his bedroom window, and told me that it was funner with more people. I had no idea what he was talking about, and was quite honestly scared, but I held his hand, turned on the lights, and entered his bedroom.
"Look," he exclaimed, pointing at the window. "It's the clown."
He just stood there, pointing, laughing, but I was completely dumbfounded. No one was at the window, and even when he claimed the clown was speaking, I couldn't hear anything. I assumed he was merely sleep-talking and motioned him back to bed, assuring him that there was no one there. Little more than a half hour later, he entered my room again and stood at the door, motionless. When I snapped at him, he jumped back and claimed once again that a clown was at the window and that he needed my help, because apparently it wouldn't leave him alone. At this point, I was rather more pestered than frightened. I entered his room again and jokingly said,
"Be gone. You are not wanted here, clown."
Suddenly, however, there was a loud banging at the window, which subsequently spooked my brother. The two of us both hurried down the staircase as the banging continued. Our panicked voices abruptly woke my mother, who sat up in bed when the two of us entered her bedroom doorway.
"What's wrong?"
she asked nervously. We both tried to explain the incident, but we were breathless and too frightened to speak coherently. Instead, we dragged her across the room and demanded she come upstairs with us. By then, however, the banging had already ended. We both explained what had happened, and at this point, she gave us a worried expression. She explained to us that when she was about our age, her older sisters played a prank on her by hauling her down into the basement. When she had relieved herself of panic and slumped down onto the floor, a clown suddenly appeared, peeking in on her from a side window, and began murmuring softly. Shivers went through me as she told us her encounter, and to be honest, this was the first time I'd ever experienced such hopeless fear. We moved out soon afterwards and never had any incidents since, but we were both left quite in shock. Isn't that wonderful? The family has their very own clown who just wants to entertain them. What a lucky family. I hope the clown can find them in their new house and keep the laughs going and going.
Me too!
You settle down. It's almost your turn. Now, I believe that is enough scares for this week. I hope you will join me again next week for more stories that are sure to keep you afraid during the day and awake at night. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the stories that I had for you tonight. And until next time.
Stay spooky.